Okay, I'd like to learn today, Emir Tzah Hashem, maybe just two Divrei Torah, two pieces of Torah, one from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Zichr Tzadok Livracha, Zichus Yagin Aleinu, and Rav Aaron Cutler, two of the great Torah leaders, great Jewish leaders, in the late middle part of the 20th century. That really helped shape the Torah world, helped shape the Jewish people, helped shape Judaism in America, Torah Judaism in America, in the second half of the 20th century, who share with us this week on Parshas Vayishlach two very, very fundamental ideas that I think went into that shaping, went into their mentalities, their philosophies, and something that they each stressed very, very strongly to their followers, to Klal Yisrael, to us, that we can take and bring into our lives and try to continue their legacy. So we'll first learn from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Likutei Sichos and Parshas Vayishlach. Again, this is from the Likutei Sichos Chelek Aleph, Melukat, and it's on page 59 in the Likutei Sichos. So he says over here in the beginning of the parsha, where Yaakov, the message that Yaakov sends to Esav with the Malachim, is Im Lavan Garti, and Rashi famously comments over there Im Lavan Garti V'Taryag Mitzvos Shamarti, that I lived with Lavan and I kept all the 613 mitzvos. Why? Because Kiosios Garti Hen Taryag, because Garti is Taryag, 613, the same letters, the same calculation, same gematria, and that is the remez in the word Garti. So the Rebbe asked three questions on Rashi, three basic, famous, simple questions. Aleph, Ketzad Bechozot Mishtalev Perusha Pshat Shal Mil Garti Yishu B'Muvan Shal Geruz Imajash Shal Taryag. Something that the Rebbe asks, and it's a fantastic way of analysis, a fantastic way of understanding the interplay between Pshat and Drush, between the simple meaning of the text of Chumash and the deeper interpretations, the homiletical interpretations that Chazal revealed to us, that they have to have some sort of relationship. They can't be totally disconnected, disparate ideas. They have to have some interplay. So the Rebbe wants to know, what is the interplay between Im Lavan Garti, that I lived with Lavan, and I kept 613 mitzvos? Those seem to be disconnected. What is their connection? Question number two. L'shem ma'ayal Yaakov lohodiya le'isav al shmirasos tarig mitzvos. It's a question that many mefarshim want to ask. Why would Esav care? Why does Yaakov need to tell Esav, I was at Lavan's house and I kept all the mitzvos? When we last met Esav wasn't so concerned with the religious practice of others, to say the least. Why would he be moved? Why would he be stirred? Why would he be interested in this piece of information that Yaakov kept 613 mitzvos in the house of Laman? Question number three, Heichan Tmuna Kan Ha'ora. What is the message of this Rashi for us? And this is so special when we learn the Torah of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. It's a question that always comes up, and I think just the fact that the Rebbe asked this question is one of the most fundamental Torahs, most fundamental ideas that we can take from the Lubavitcher Rebbe, that he was always asking throughout all of Torah, throughout Chumash, throughout Halacha, throughout Chazal. Whenever we see teachings of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, if not always, then the vast, vast majorities of teachings. I have not seen so many teachings of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, but I love the Torah of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, and I've seen, you know, whatever I have seen, this question kimat always appears. And that is, what is it teaching us? What's the Hora? What's the guidance? What's the marching orders? What is the Torah trying to tell us, to tell me, from this teaching, that there's no such thing in Torah? Torah is always B'Lashon Hora, Torah is guidance, and it must be teaching me something, it must be guiding me in some way in my life. So what is that over here? So the Rebbe begins to discuss. He says, "Im lavan garti kol yani lavan ha'ramiha chafetzim agashmim shal ha'olam hazeh shor chamor tzon eved v'shivcha kulam hayu l'gabi Yaakov b'chinas geirus zarim hayu lo ina elu me'inyano shal Yaakov avinu." So the big contrast between the personality, the focuses of Lavan and those of Yaakov Avinu. Lavan, and certainly when Yaakov experienced being in the home of Lavan, it was like he went to Wall Street. It was like he went into business. It was the whole experience of that we learned last week in Parshas Vayetze, Yaakov Avinu's experience in the house of Lavan, besides for getting his two beloved wives, the great imahus of Klal Yisrael, Rachel and Leah, the whole story is made up by Yaakov's financial and professional relationship with Lavan, and the focus on work and compensation and property, and very, very materialistic and gashmi type of this worldly focus in the house of Lavan. And that seems to be the main focus in the house of Lavan. Yaakov Avinu, on the other hand, Yaakov Avinu is constantly experiencing spirituality. He's encountering angels. He's dreaming. He's thinking about building his family. He's yearning to come back to Eretz Yisrael. Very, very spiritually focused. Very, very living in the reality of Ruchnius and transcendence, even in the midst of his experience at Lavan, as we're going to see. Lidido for Yaakov, Raka Neshama V'Torah V'Mitzvos Beitiyim Lo V'Krovim Elav. Yaakov is at home. Yaakov's home is in the world of the Neshama, the soul, Torah, Mitzvos. That's where Yaakov was primarily anchored. But if you look later on in the Parsha, when Yaakov comes back to Eretz Yisrael and settles down, so the Torah tells us, "Vayivein lo bayis ulimikneu asas sukos, lo latzmuso hanashama veinyana bana veichin diras keva ulimikneu kol akadir lo venosav alatzmuso mivachutz hagash beis asas sukos diras arai." So the Rebbe gives a beautiful pshat in this pasuk, which is also a pasuk that raises eyebrows, that Yaakov built for himself houses and he built sukos for his livestock. But the Rebbe gives us a more chassidish pshat in this pasuk that's really beautiful, and that certainly jives, certainly goes very nicely with the mentality and the personality of Yaakov Avinu, namely that Yaakov built for himself, for his essence, a bias, meaning he built a dwelling place. He anchored himself in a bias. But mikneu literally means cattle, but it also comes from the lashon of kinyan, meaning that which is acquired, meaning his property, his financial assets. For them, he put them in a sukkah. What's the contrast between a bais and a sukkah? A bais is a home. A bais is stable. It's stationary. It's a diras keva. A sukkah is a diras arai. It's temporary. So Yaakov took his mikneu, his assets, his acquisitions, his money, his property, his cattle, his merchandise, that which is transient, his things which he knew wouldn't last, for them he put in a sukkah. For them he said, you know, these things are important, but they don't need a home, they don't need a bias, they don't need that structure, that shelter, that protection, to the same extent that I do. And what's I? I is my essence, I is my neshama, I is my identity. My identity needs a bias, my identity needs to be anchored, my soul needs to be rooted and anchored and protected and sheltered. So that's what Yaakov did. He built for himself, for his essence, a bias, and for his cattle, he built, for his property, for his acquisitions, for his material property, he built a sukkah. They're important. But a sukkah is dira sarai, and it shows where his emphasis, where Yaakov's primary focus was. Kach yuvan hakesher ben perusha pashut shel milas garti ledrush shel Rashi. Now says the Rebbe, we can answer one of our questions. What was the meaning of Yaakov saying im Lavan garti? I lived with Lavan. Two, I kept the 613 mitzvos. Shekein rak mitoch, what's garti? Garti says is a lashon of zarus, is a lashon of ger. Ger is a stranger, a zar, an outsider. Yaakov says im lavan garti. Shekein rak mitoch hazarus legashmias haolam mitafsheres shmiras midukdekes shel tarek mitzvos mibli she table umlo yafriu lecha. I assume what the Rebbe's medayik is why Yaakovinu used the lashon of garti when there could have been other lashonos that Yaakov could have used im lavan yashavti im lavan hayiti chai or maybe any other one, but instead Yaakovinu used the lashon of garti. Garti does mean lived, but it also is very, very closely connected with a ger, with an outsider, with one who is a zar, one who is a stranger, one who doesn't belong. And when Yaakov said im lavan garti, he didn't only say that I was living there, but he said that my experience there was that of an outsider. I didn't become one of these people. I didn't take on their mentalities. I didn't take on their philosophies. I didn't take on their priorities. Why? Tayreg mitzvah shamarti. My priority, my focus always stayed on the soul, on my spiritual work, on my dedication to God and to truth and to my mission in this world and to spirituality and my shema, all represented through tayreg mitzvahs. And continues the Rebbe, Yeser al Kain. Kasher Gashmius Nachshavas Lagabe Adam Vichinas Geirus Hari Lorak Sheinu Mafreli Nene Ruchnius Elisha Ruchnius Avno Tennis of Shashmos Begashmius and Kedikasha Gashmius Atma Ofechas Ruchnius Vikedusha. This is one of the most fundamental ideas in Chassidus. Says the Rebbe that it's not that Yaakov didn't have any interaction with physicality and materialism. No, look at the parsha. Look at parsha Vayitzi. Look at last week's parsha. Look at Yaakov's whole development of his home, of his family in those years at Lavan. He was working. He was very, very involved and engaged in this world, involved in supporting himself and working for Lavan and the cattle and his very, very, you know, intense diligence in working for his wives and supporting his family and working for Lavan. But through it all, it never became primary. It never became his essence. It never took over his identity. It never he never defined himself as an employee or a worker or as a financially focused individual. That was all a means. That was all a hechitimtza for his development. But since he engaged, but he kept it as geirus, he kept it as a strange dimension of his life, not only did it not interfere with his life, but also it became usable as a kli, as a tool, as a vessel for further growth, for further development. Because as we know very well, and certainly a very fundamental idea in Chassidus, and in Bali Machshava as well, that the physical world is meant to be engaged. We've spoken about this in this very Chabura. The physical world is meant to be engaged. It's meant for us. It's meant to be for us a tool. It's meant to be for us an opportunity to sanctify it, to bring godliness into it. And to the extent that a person understands that the physical dimension, the financial, materialistic dimension of life, of reality, is secondary, is more zar, is more garti, is more gerus, is more distant to us, distant from our essence, then we can utilize it, you know, from that safe distance as a kli, as a vessel for our mission and purpose in this world. And he says that is what Yaakov was telling Esav in this message. When he says, "Vayehi li shor v'chamor tzon ve'ev v'shivcha," he said, "I have oxes, I have donkeys, I have cattle, I have male slaves, I have female slaves. Hadvar magashmim alu l'dargas li hem nechshavu k'shayachim la'atzmu shel Yaakov v'inyano ha'ikari. Li, me, my essence, I have all of these things," meaning I am able to utilize them, I'm able to keep them in context and perspective, and all these things are part of my world as a result of the fact that I'm able to maintain my identity, maintain my focus, that my spiritual dimension is primary and the materialistic dimension is secondary. The Rebbe continues quoting a medrash on this pasuk, when Vayili Shor V'chamor, Tzon Ve'ev V'shivcha, that on the word chamor, I have a chamor, so Chazal, when a chamor appears in the narrative of Torah and Tanakh, Chazal say the chamor is a reference to Melech HaMashiach, because the pasuk in Zechariah refers to the Mashiach as Ani Rochev al Chamor, a poor person, a dejected person riding on a donkey. And the Chamor is this image which depicts Mashiach. It's a depiction of Mashiach. So really what Yaakov was telling Esav is, I have Mashiach. I have in my hands, in my experience, in my domain, I have my hands on redemption, on the Mashiach. What's pshat? Says the Rabbi, Bias HaMashiach Tzuya Be'avodas HaBirurim. Bringing Mashiach, the arrival of Mashiach is dependent on, obviously now discussing Mashiach, it's something of very, very primary focus of the teachings of the Lubavitcher Rebbe. And he says that the bringing and the coming of Mashiach is dependent on Avodas HaBirurim, the work, the spiritual work of Levarer, of differentiating, of clarifying. Klomar al yedei kach shekol Yisrael mivarer mizakeched gufo nafsho abahamis v'chalko ba'olam u'menatzol tam l'kedusha harei hu mamshichet hagluim shel atid. You want to reveal redemption? You want to bring the Messianic era? The way we do it is to clarify and to have distinctiveness in the different dimensions of our life, of our physical dimension, and our materialistic dimension, in contrast to the spiritual dimension. And to the extent that we're able to keep what's primary, and to keep what's secondary, that's the birur, that's the rectification, that's the clarification that the world needs to bring about the revelation of the ultimate truth in the Messianic age. Now says the Rebbe, why does Yaakov Avinu say, Im Lavan Garti, I lived with Lavan, I was a stranger in the house of Lavan, keeping 613 mitzvos, I kept the physical secondary, that was a part of my life, but it wasn't my essence, it wasn't my main focus. Really tired mitzvah shemarti, that was my main focus. And then I had a shor and a chamor, I had Mashiach, I had ani rochev al chamor, I had Mashiach in my experience. You know what Yaakov was telling Esav? Mishum shel gabe Yaakov hayu advar magashim v'chinas gerus v'shimsho kelim v'dir le'elokus. Yaakov is telling Esav, I'm ready, brother. I have figured this out. Unbelievable. I have figured this out, and I have a plan, and I have made sense of my life. And I've realized that if I do this work of making the physical experience, the materialistic experience, money and finances, and all the different dimensions of the materialistic parts of life, if I keep that secondary, again, engage it, yes, absolutely, but make sure that it has its place in the secondary standing after my essence, my soul, my relationship with God, my spiritual work, my spiritual development in this world, that person has a chamor. That person has Mashiach. That person is already living in the Messianic era in a certain sense. He's experiencing Mashiach with that clarity, with that perspective of that the neshama's priority number one. That person is living with Mashiach, and that's what Yaakov is declaring. So Yaakov is telling Esav, "I'm ready. I am so ready. I'm ready for Mashiach. I'm ready for the rectification of the world. I'm ready for to bring this tikkun, to bring this ultimate fixing to mankind." And obviously the ultimate tikkun to mankind is dependent upon their very relationship, as we discussed yesterday from Yaakov Kamenetsky, the relationship with Yaakov and Esav, and how central that relationship is to the development of really all of mankind. And Yaakov is telling Esav, I'm ready for Mashiach, are you ready? However, when the angels come back, they say, "We went banu el achicha el Esav, klomar nishlachnu al yadech el achicha." We went to your brother. Why did we go to your brother? B'machshava shu kamocha. We went to in the hope that he's your brother, in the hope that he's willing to join you in this mission, in the hope that he's willing, like Yaakov Kamenetsky spoke about last night, yesterday, in the hope that he's willing to become a brother again and become a partner in this process. However, El Esav, Banu El Esav, They said, we tried, we hoped, but Esav is still holding there. Esav is still holding by Esav. He is not ready to make this jump. He's not ready to make this leap. He's shakua in olam hazeh. He's very, very focused and very, very engaged, for lack of a better term, and to say it a little nicely. He's very, very engaged in this world. And it's just, for him, it's not the time yet. And Yaakov's hope of partnering up with Esav in this im lavan garti experience of v'yeshli chamor, and I'm holding by Mashiach, he was hoping that Esav would partner with him, but unfortunately, the angels came back and said, Esav is not ready. Says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, HaTorah v'horoseh ha'nitzchis l'chol ben Yisrael v'chol zman v'chol makom. V'zuho ra'onu ma'az mikol ha'amur al Yehudi l'da shagam m'chinas ha'sviv m'chinas ha'olam lo re'adayin shetavo agula ki lo hushlam berurim harihu mitzad atzma chayv l'achin et atzmo v'tinyanu tzon v'ev v'shivcha l'gula shleima. Says the Lubavitcher Rebbe, we have to be looking to see if those around us are ready for gula. We have to hope and we have to do our hishtadlus and we have to do our shlichus to engage and involve all of those around us to bring Mashiach, to make each and every one of their lives to a life that's prepared for Mashiach in terms of these berurim, in terms of focusing primarily on the neshama, focusing primarily on God, and secondarily on things of this world. But in the case that the answer comes back, that Banu Achicha Leisav, that those around us may not be ready, says Lubavitcher Rebbe, every single person needs to know that for me as an individual, that doesn't make a difference. For me as an individual, for you as an individual, we can be at that state that Yaakov Avinu himself was in, where he said, "Vayihi li shor v'chamor." I already have a chamor. I already have a donkey. I'm already holding my Mashiach in my Dalet Amos, in my experience, in my life. I have the taste of Mashiach in my reality because of the work that I've done. And it all begins from this perspective, that this world, I'm an outsider to things of this world. I'm engaged, yes, but I'm not engaged with my essence. That's not how I define myself. Right? I'm just reminded of a word that I heard from a Rebbe of mine, Rav Bednarsh, and Parshas Noach, that Noach, when the Mabel ends and the Teva finally lands, that the Torah says, Noach planted a vineyard, and Noach, the Torah refers to Noach as an Ish Adama, a man of the land, a man of, or Ish Sadeh, Ish Adama, I believe, a man of the land, right? He was a farmer, and for that, he unfortunately ended up having a big kilkul, a big downfall, getting drunk, the whole story over there. And the reason that my Rebbe explained why Noach had this kilkul was because his self-identity was, I'm a farmer, I'm an agriculturalist, I'm a banker, I'm a lawyer, I'm a doctor, that's who I am, right? But we know very well, or hopefully we could try to internalize this idea, and certainly what the Lubavitcher Rebbe is talking about, when we define ourselves, and that's what Yaakov Avinu said, "Im lavan garti." I was with Lavan, I was there, I was working, I was engaged, I was the business and the calculations and the books and the money and the flock and the livestock and everything. Begarti, that's not where my essence was. I had to work, so I worked. I had to engage, and Yaakov Avinu gave everything he had physically to that job. But his essence was nitman. His essence was insulated and maintained primacy in his worldview, and it didn't allow his engagement with the physical material world to become primary in his identity. Unlike Noach, Kol achaim hem yimei shnosa v'hem shivim shana v'hem gru shvonim shana v'yam me'ev esrim shana hem b'chinas garti, right? And that's how we need to live our life. We need to live our life garti. We need to live our life that when it comes to things of this world, that we maintain our spiritual essence as primary, and the rest is garti, the rest is kept at a safe distance. And then physicality, materialism will not be a bother, will not affect, will not harm our spirituality. In fact, they'll be able to work in tandem. But it's only when we know what's primary and what's secondary. And obviously we know that every person in their own life is a macrocosm for the world around, that when a person brings themselves to these levels, these are very high levels that we're talking about, but it's good to talk about them and strive for them. When a person achieves this, and a person is working towards this, so it not only affects a change in his own personal life, but it also affects a change in the world around. It certainly has a butterfly effect, and it has a hashpa, it has a beautiful influence on those around. Seeing the behavior of such an individual, seeing the mentality, seeing the morality of such an individual has such a far-reaching effect on a community, on a family, and on the world at large. And the Rebbe says, finishing up with this idea from the Rebbe says that kol ha'inyanim hem harei bashkacha pratis gulos admar zaken chasidus yudus kislev tavkun tes yirav shavu shalach ha'parashu v'yishlach. The Rebbe says that the Yutes Kislev, the Yontif of Chabad Chassidus, the day when the Alter Rebbe was freed from prison, in Tavkuf Nun Tes, can't calculate it right now. That happened the Parsha Vayishlach. What the Lubavitcher Chassidim called Rosh Hashanah of Chassidus happens this coming week. We're going to celebrate it this Shabbos, Yutes Kislev, and that appears this Shabbos. And says the Rebbe, it's so beautiful, it's so appropriate, because this idea of the primacy of the neshama, this idea of the ability to live our soul as our primary guiding force in our life, it's one of the major yesodos of Chassidus, and it's also the major force that we have to bring geula, to bring salvation on a personal level and on a worldwide level. Chassidus notenet chol echad miyisrael the koch v'efsharos to build the techshavi matzavu shel olam shemisaviv. Chassidus gives a person the ability to not accept and to not just give in to the realities of life around. Im lavan garti, a person can have this mentality that I'm here, but I'm a stranger. This is not where my essence lies. I'm loving garti. Ul hagia b'em tzos ul dagas vayhili chamor zemel chamashiach. Hachasidus yachana v'akli legili ha-mashiach. And like the Rebbe famously taught, that the learning of Chassidus, the learning of Pnimius, is the great preparation for the coming of Mashiach. And mainly for this reason, because Chassidus helps us accentuate spirituality, accentuate our neshamas, and help us live with our neshamas primarily, live with in the spiritual realm primarily, and utilize the physical realm as a forum, as a place to be able to actualize the Torah that we learn and the ideals and the morals that we stand for, that it does not become the primary driving force in our life and in our identity. So that's a beautiful part of the Sicha from the Lubavitcher Rebbe on this week's Parshas of Vayishlach. With a few short minutes that we have left, an idea from Rav Aaron Cutler in the Mishnah Rav Aaron on Parshas Vayishlach. Rav Aaron Cutler discusses the battle between Yaakov Avinu and the Malach, the Sarah Shal Esav. The Rav Aaron Cutler, the great Kletzker Rosh Hashiva, the Laker Rosh Hashiva, the great builder of Torah in America. We know Rav Aaron Cutler was fire dedication to Talmud Torah and the teaching of Torah and the disseminating of Torah and a fierce dedication to authentic yeshivas, and even in America, to build up Talmid Chachamim without any ulterior motives whatsoever. How the power of Torah that Rav Aaron Cutler anchored and planted in America And obviously, America, the Jewish people as a whole, are reaping the fruits of his incredible labor and Mesiras Nefesh till this day. And this idea, the idea of the primacy of Talmud Torah, but one nuance, Rav Aaron Kotler speaks about here in Parshas Vayishlach, in the Mishnah Srebiyah, and this is on page Nun Tes. Iker Melchamas Hayitzer Keneged HaTorah. Rav Aaron Kotler says that Yaakov Avinu, we'll try to go through quickly for time, that Yaakov Avinu is a symbol of Torah, right? Yaakov is Ishtam Yosheva Oholim, Yaakov is Titin Emes LeYaakov, and Yaakov represents Torah, right? Yaakov is the Ola Shel Torah, right? Avram is Chesed, Yitzchak is Gvura, Yitzchak is Tefila, and Yitzchak is Avoda, and Yaakov Avinu is representing Torah. So if Yaakov Avinu is representing Torah, then what is the deeper meaning of his encounter and his fight with the Malach of Esav? So Rav Aaron Kotler over here quotes the Gemara in Chulin. The Gemara in Chulin says something fascinating. The Gemara says, "Vatika kaf yerech Yaakov be'av ko imo." That we know that the angel got a shot in on the thigh of Yaakov Avinu. Says the Gemara, "Rav Shmuel bar Acha kame de Rav Ula Amar ketalmid chacham nidmelo." Says the Gemara in Chulin that when Yaakov Avinu had this encounter with the Sarah Shel Esav, the angel appeared as a Talmud Chacham. The angel appeared as a Talmud Chacham, and Yaakov was fighting with one that appeared like a Talmud Chacham. And says around color, what's the meaning of this and what's the message of this for us? Kachu b'doros ha'ilu kishenisrabu mizayfei ha'torah u'mat'im es b'nei Yisrael b'doros ha'ilu shel shichas ha'torah u'mat'im es ha'klal ki'ilu darkam b'derech ha'torah u'mahabchim divrei elkim chayim mevi'im l'shichas ha'torah v'al zeh ne'emar b'kra v'yar ki'ilu yacholo. What was Yaakov fighting against on a homiletic, based on this Gemara, and how Aaron Kotler explains how he understands? Yaakov Avinu was fighting against one who appeared to be a Talmud Chacham, when in reality they're not. When in reality their understanding and their tradition and their Mesorah and what they stand for and their ideas are simply bastardized and simply misunderstandings and misinterpretations and with ulterior motives and with foreign value systems being incorporated and infiltrating and speaking in the name of Torah, but really from a totally misinterpreted and a fabricated worldview in the name of Torah, when really it's the furthest thing from it. And Aaron Kotler says this is what Yaakov Avinu was fighting against, and this is the danger. This is incredibly dangerous, an incredibly dangerous assault on Yaakov Avinu, and an incredibly dangerous assault on us as well. V'hamilchama mitnahelas b'kol tokef b'chol malachim uv'chol ha'emtzayim v'lachim b'echreach drusha hit'amtzus gedolu v'milchama zu l'kiyum ha'briyo l'kiyum kal Yisrael v'drusha v'milchama zu tamidi chachamim asher yilchamu b'tkifas neged miharsi hadas hashonim v'yadua hu ki ha'misyavnim ha'reu lanu yoser me'ivanim atzman. Says Aaron Kotler, this fight is such an important fight because it's one thing to fight against those who clearly are coming at you in the name of foreign worldviews, foreign religions, foreign ideologies, foreign traditions. But when one will fight against you in the name of Torah, in the name of Judaism, when really in reality what they're standing for is something very, very foreign to our Mesorah, to our tradition, that is so dangerous. It's so destructive to our people and to our communities, to our children, to the chain of Klal Yisrael, to the chain of generations. And certainly something that we've seen and experienced firsthand in America and American Jewry, not distinctly, not meaning other countries such things have happened, but certainly in America in a very, very, very perhaps the most pronounced way in terms of other streams and other approaches and philosophies, speaking in the name of authentic Torah. And like this Gemara says, it was such a beautiful pshat there, that the Ravan Kalir says that the angel appeared like a Talmud Chacham, and obviously that the power and the danger of when something appears like a Talmud Chacham, when in reality it's not really what it's representing is really not the truth of Torah. That is an incredibly dangerous force, and Yaakov Avinu is fighting against that. But Yaakov realized there is something here that is so. So dangerous and so overwhelming. Umachanis Yaakov Imamala Hodelo Ala Brachos. Lo Yaakov Yikaro Shimcha Kim Yisrael Kisarisim Elokim. Vizev Sharakim Yasku Messiah Gedola Hainu Shilamdu Kim Kubu Mirvosinu Midor Vador Ubushkeda Gedola. Right? Yaakov Avinu was given the brachas, his name was changed to Yisrael on the condition that Yaakov would have this complete dedication to Torah, to learning, to receiving the authentic tradition from our Rebbeim, from our rabbis, from our yeshivas, going back from generation to generation, from true, real, authentic Talmud Chachamim, who you chazakim kebarzel, levater me hachamrius of our Torah, to have real complete dedication to Torah through and through, and that, with Torah like that, and with dedication like that, then we would have ability to overcome those streams which appear like a Talmud Chacham, when in reality they are something different. And that certainly was something that Rav Aaron Kotler fought very, very tooth and nail in his own lifetime and his Talmidim, and continued to fight that fight. Obviously, you know, sometimes things are not so clear, and you know, when is the call for fighting and when is the call for peace? Between Klal Yisrael, between brothers and sisters, these are challenging questions that everybody needs guidance from people that from whom they seek guidance. But certainly, the idea, the Yisod is that the Yisod is totally true and totally critical, especially in this day and age. That Yaakovinu is fighting against the one who appeared like they were representing real Torah values, real Torah tradition, real authentic Torah, but in reality it was something that was a fabrication and not the real thing. And we have to continue fighting that fight, and we have to continue to make sure that the tradition and that the Mesorah and that the Torah that we pass on to our children and to our grandchildren and from generation to generation and to our students and to our friends and to our families is true and authentic and not willing to make, you know, compromises or not having been chas v'shalom infiltrated by foreign values and ideologies. And he quote, and just with Hanukkah coming, he says this was that in the days of Hanukkah, the misyavnim, meaning those Jews who had assimilated to the Assyrian Greek culture, were far more dangerous than the yavanim, the Greeks themselves, because the misyavnim who assimilated but maintained their Jewish identity but had brought in all of this foreign culture into their Jewish lives were now far more dangerous, in that they were, you know, claiming to represent Judaism with all of these foreign values, and obviously that is incredibly dangerous and incredibly destructive to our people. As opposed to an enemy who's clear, I'm your enemy, I'm a Greek, you're a Jew, we're different. So then, you know, that at least there's a clear line of who's who and what's what. Hashem should give us the koach to fight this fight, and also and to be mekabel true Torah and to live it and to pass it on to the next generation, and also in following in the from the teaching of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, Hashem should give us the koach also to make sure to keep the Ruchni as primary, the Gashmi as secondary, and with that we pave the way for Mashiach to come. Have a wonderful rest of the week. Until next time.